morning, everyone. If we could take a few minutes and listen to some of Barb's wonderful music here for the and quiet our hearts for the prelude. Thank you very much, Barb. I'd like to welcome everyone this morning, both guests and congregation members, on this first Sunday in Lent. I don't know if it's just me, but it really seems like this year's moving along already, March already. Only announcement I have for today is the church council meeting is tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary, and there are agenda packets out in the gathering place if you'd like to pick one up in preparation for the meeting tomorrow night. We'd like to see everyone here. And I believe Earl Liske has an announcement.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
As we all know, our brother George Heller fell and broke his 3 vertebrae in his neck. And we're asking for people to come out and help. He needs to get out and go for a walk twice a day. And I have a sign-up sheet out there, 9 a.m. or 2 p.m. It doesn't have to be exactly those times. It's just morning and afternoon. So if you can help out and sign a sheet out there, that would be great. I'm going to take care of Monday and whatever else needs to be done. So thanks very much. We hope you can help out. And Ruth says thank you. By all means, we'll pray for George.
Thank you, Earl. Pastor Marty, I believe, has a few announcements as well.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you here this morning on this first Sunday of Lent. I have a couple announcements this morning. In your bulletin, you'll see that we do have council meeting tomorrow night. And because of that, we will not be having a Bible study. Our Bible study will be the following Monday. And we're having a good turnout with our Bible study. We've had about between 12 and 15 people coming out, so we invite you to come out. The next Monday, we're going to be looking at Abraham, Genesis chapter 14 and 15. Along those lines, I also want to invite everyone to our cross-generational Sunday school class. We've had a few people come, offering that for an additional class for those who aren't plugged in anywhere for Sunday school. You're certainly welcome to join us. We're looking at the whole topic of salvation. I don't know if you remember, but about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I gave an insert out for everybody to take home with them. It talks about the passages that deal with the topic of salvation. And today we looked at Moses and the topic of salvation. And so I invite you, anyone to come for that. The other announcement is the benediction this morning. If you look in your bulletins, there is a responsive benediction, but also the choir. We're going to be singing the choral benediction, and you're welcome to join us for that. But we're going to have the choral benediction and then the benediction that's in the bulletin.
Thank you, Pastor Marty. And now, if you're able to, please stand and join us for the opening hymn. It's Blessed Assurance, number 144 in the Brown Hymnal.
Oh,
please join me for the responsive reading, the call to worship? So the Lenten Confession of Readiness. Let us not set aside the joys and cares of life, which are a part of us as we begin this time together. We do not intend to separate our worship from our lives, but rather to bring our lives into acts of worship where the power of God may provide insight and refreshment and renewal.
We agree to be who we are before the one who already knows us. We shall together confess our needs.
And now I'd like for us all to please take a few minutes and have a time of silent confession. Thank you. You may be seated. If you could please join me in reading the invocational prayer. Oh God, you rule the world from end to end and for all time. You alone are God. In you alone we hope. Forgive our sins. Heal our diseases. Save our lives from destruction. We repent of our stubbornness and pride. We desire to yield ourselves more fully to your will. Keep us in your presence, that we might serve and witness in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now let's please enjoy two songs from the senior choir.
Jesus saves.
Fantastic job, senior choir. That was phenomenal. It was a real joy to sit back and listen. And now the ushers may come forward. If everyone could please bow your head as I read the offertory prayer. Dear God, I offer you my praise. I offer you my heart. I offer you my money. I offer you my life. Thank you for everything you give to me. Amen. The children may be dismissed for Children's Church. And if you could please join us in the singing of the offertory hymn. It is number 332 in the Brown Hymnal, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
Now to our time of our prayer this morning. And in your bulletins, you'll see a listing of names we need to remember in prayer. I want to give you an update on Joan Mauser. I was out to visit her yesterday at the Hershey Medical Center. She is having chemo treatments, continues to have chemo treatments for leukemia, but then she had a fever, a high temperature, some kind of infection, and so they had to take her to the emergency room. When I went to see her yesterday, she's doing much better. She's looking good. Her spirits are good, but keep Joan and John in prayer, along with the other names at this time. Also, this is the season of Lent, the first Sunday of Lent. Just be aware that this is an important time, as We look at our Lord and Savior in his journey to the cross. So we also need to examine our spiritual lives with God, our relationship with the Lord. Some people choose to give something up for Lent. That's totally up to you as an individual. Some like to fast. It all depends on where you are with the Lord. So this is just an important time as we prepare for the season, the resurrection of Easter Sunday. It's just always important to look at our individual lives, spiritual lives with the Lord, and remember his sacrifice that he made. As we go into our morning prayer, I ask that you would just join me at the end of the prayer for our Lord's Prayer as we pray that in unison. It's always important to have a spirit of unity when we pray together. Let us bow our heads for our morning prayer. Lord, we give you praise and glory for this morning, for the opportunity to come here this morning in a time of prayer and a time of fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the faith. We thank you, Lord, for this this opportunity to worship on the first Sunday of Lent. Help us, Lord, to be aware of our own spiritual lives, and maybe we need to make something right, Lord, between us and you. We just pray that you lead us during the season of Lent to look at our own spiritual lives. Lord, we thank you for the fellowship of the church, for the believers that come together each Sunday. We pray that we would also have an inviting spirit for those who we haven't seen, if we would give them a call or invite them, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to have that spirit of friendship and evangelism, Lord, that you have given us. Lord, we lift up the many people this morning who are on the prayer concern list. We pray, Lord, especially for Joan Mauser right now. She's been through quite a bit with her illness, Lord God. We pray that you would provide that healing touch that she needs, especially with this fever. We also pray for John as he spends many days traveling to the Hershey Medical Center. We just lift him to you. We also want to lift up George Heller with his injury. We pray that you would give him, Lord, your strength and touch during this time. We thank you for the family which surrounds them, Lord. Give them, Lord, your strength and encouragement each and every day. And Lord, for the situations that each one of us faces, Lord, we come this morning, Lord, with, I'm sure we have some challenges, some burdens, Lord, that are on our hearts. Lord, we just lift them to you, no matter what they are. We lift our families to you right now, Lord. We thank you so much for the family which provides us, Lord, with the support that we need. And we pray for any broken families this morning, Lord, that they would seek reconciliation, Lord, through you. We thank you for the sacrifice, Lord, of our mothers, Lord, those who are very dedicated to our children, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, for their gift. Also, Lord, we remember our fathers, Lord, who provide a very important role in the home, too. We pray that you would instill in our fathers, Lord, the desire to be the head of the family, to raise the family, Lord, in your values. Lord, we lift up to you our country and our congressional leaders right now as they go through, Lord, a very difficult time of disunity. We pray, Lord, that only you can solve these problems, Lord. We pray that our politicians and our president, Lord, will look to you as the one who gives us the direction and the values, Lord, that our nation needs. And God, we pray for the church, for us, Lord, as your people, for the witness that we need to have, Lord. We pray that we would walk in the ways, Lord, that you have taught us. And Lord, as we end this prayer this morning, we want to pray together the spirit of the prayer in unity, Lord, the Lord's Prayer, which you have taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's holy word from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. In honor of God's word, I ask you to please stand. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. May God add a blessing in the reading of his word. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your written word and your spoken word, which was given to us this morning. We pray that we would have a desire to know what your word says, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God, part of your word is a written word. Pray that we would ever be true and faithful to that word. And I pray that you guide every word that I speak in the meditation of my heart, that Jesus Christ be uplifted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, last Wednesday was Ash Wednesday. And since that was a day that many people were making their confessions of what they're going to give up for Lent, I found a list of the top 10 things people fast during the season of Lent. These are the top 10 things that people give up for Lent. Number one is chocolate. Number two, social networking. Number three, alcohol. Number four, Twitter. Number five, Facebook. Number six, and this doesn't make sense to me, school. I can hear a kid saying, I'm fasting from school from now until the end of school. Number 7, meat. Number 8, sweets. Number 9, coffee. That would be really hard for me. And number 10, fizzy drinks. Now just think about those 10 things. And actually, people believe that if they give up these things, somehow that will make them a better person. But I want you to think for a moment, are these 10 things our real enemy in our lives today? What is our real enemy? I think sometimes with our confessions of what we need to give up, not all of them, but some of them, we like to kind of sugarcoat them in order to cover up a bigger spiritual problem. And so today I want to address a problem that many Christians have, and that is spiritual immaturity. Now, I'd like us to compare the reasons people fast and compare it to the reasons why Jesus fasted. Why did God lead Jesus on a fast? Why would he lead him into the wilderness? Because we're thinking, you know, Jesus was perfect. Well, evidently not, if he was being tempted by Satan. And as I looked at the reasons why Jesus was in the desert and why he fasted and how he was tempted, I think how far away we have strayed in our reasons of why we think we need to improve ourselves. I mean, when Jesus fasted, he had to overcome Satan. That's the first point. When Jesus fasted, he had to overcome Satan. Jesus had the devil as his enemy. And how much more do we have to overcome our enemy and Satan? Jesus had to overcome Satan and his temptations. And with people's lists of things to fast from today, somehow I think chocolate and fizzy drinks are not our real enemy in our fasting. It is Satan and his temptations. Just like Jesus had his temptation with Satan in the wilderness, we need to look at that ourselves. I want us to look at the scripture text today and have our Bibles. Let's look at Matthew 4. And we can see here that our real enemy when we fast is Satan. And sometimes when we read scripture, many times we look at scripture as kind of a nice story with a happy ending. I know sometimes people read that this is just a story with a happy ending, but it's not. This is a real story that affects all of us. This is about our struggle against temptation. Let's look at Matthew 4, verse 1. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, the first question I'd like to address is this. Why would the Holy Spirit lead Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days? Well, God performed his greatest miracles in the desert. God performed his greatest miracles in the wilderness. All you got to do is read the accounts in the Old Testament. God shows up. He does his greatest miracles in the desert, in the wilderness. Example, God parted the Red Sea, gave salvation to the Egyptian, to the people of God. And when Israel was walking in the wilderness for 40 years, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, God miraculously struck the rock of water and provided water for all the people to drink. And he provided manna in the wilderness for survival. And I think one of the reasons why God did some of his greatest miracles in the wilderness is because that's how people thought that would be the last place to find God. I mean, who wants to spend time in the desert with all of its serpents? But listen, if you trust God, you will go with him even to the places that you don't want to go in life. And do you actually believe that this is where Jesus wanted to go? I don't think so. Did Jesus enjoy fasting and going without food for 40 days? And to give you some background about where Jesus was in this desert, according to Barclay's commentary, the wilderness that he went to was called the Devastation. It was an area near the Dead Sea where there was absolutely no living creatures around. Temperatures reached 130 degrees there. Why did the Holy Spirit lead Jesus to this place? Jesus' fast was actually a testing time for him. That's an important point to remember. Jesus' fast was a testing time for him. This was a testing time for Jesus because he was about to go to the cross. God had a plan for Jesus to be the Son of God, to be our Savior. God had a plan for Jesus to heal people. God had a plan for Jesus to accept the poor when no one else would. God had a plan for Jesus to go to the cross and die and be raised from the dead and go to heaven and provide eternal life for anyone who calls on his name. And in order for God to fulfill his plan for Jesus, Jesus had to become strong. Jesus had to be tested in order to conquer temptation from Satan and to become our Savior. And 40 days in the desert to be tempted by the devil was the best way that God used in order to test Jesus. And if you and I want to be used for God, we must be tested as well. Our lives are one big test, aren't they? They're one big test that we overcome. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. It says, when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now this was a fast that Jesus went on, and this was a fast that Jesus chose to do. He deliberately went without food for 40 days. And so therefore he was totally dependent on God. Because after a certain amount of days without food and water, a person can die. We know that. And I'm sure Jesus is thinking, you know, after about the seventh or eighth day, he's thinking, you know what? If I die in the desert, what's going to happen as my mission, as the Son of God? He's thinking, I got to have some food. So Jesus' first temptation was food. Now, we might laugh at that, but that's what it was, because of his need for survival. And that's when the devil gave Jesus his first temptation. Look at verses 3 to 4 of Matthew 4. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. So Jesus was looking at these stones in the desert. Now, Barclay's commentary is telling me that in this desert where Jesus was, there were a bunch of these little round pieces of limestone that looked exactly like little loaves of bread. Kind of deceiving. And I'm sure it looked good. Kind of like Fasnacht donuts on Fat Tuesday. I was tempted to buy a dozen of those things, but I managed to only have one. But they are good. They are good. Well, Jesus answered Satan by telling him, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, I want you to think about that. Jesus is actually quoting from Deuteronomy 8, verses 2 to 3. And let's look at that for a moment. Deuteronomy 8, 2 to 3. We see some powerful words here from the Lord. It says in Deuteronomy 8, 2 to 3, God says, "You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years," here we go, that number 40 again, "in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." Now, let's look at that for a moment. What is God telling us here? He's telling us that you must live on God's word alone. Live on God's word alone. Why? That way we know that we are completely dependent on God when you are at the mercy of every word of God. When you're at the mercy of every word of God, you know what the Bible says. The Bible says, "You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble and test you to know what's in your heart." In other words, God allowed the people to hunger physically. Now, does that mean that God does that to be mean? No. He is testing you. He is testing the people of Israel. He tests you and I to know what's in your heart. That's the key. What is in our hearts? You know, our hearts can be very vulnerable, deceptive. And so we need to see what is really in our hearts and if God's word really is number one in our lives. Let's look at the next temptation, second temptation. The second temptation, the devil tempted Jesus with his power. The devil tempted Jesus with his power. And this basically tells all of us that sometimes our power can go to our heads. Look at Matthew 4, 5 to 7. Go back to Matthew 4. Let's see what we find here. The devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. That was probably 180, 200 feet high. And said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And so the devil was telling Jesus, "Hey, you're really mighty. You're really some powerful guy." He's telling Jesus, "You claim to be the Son of God. Let's see you prove it. Let's see if God is going to save you by jumping off this cliff. I remember when I was about 3 or 4 years old, I have an older brother who's 11 years older than me. He has always tempted me to do things that I shouldn't do. And him and I were sitting down in the backyard one time, and he picked up a blade of grass, and he said that, "You know what?" He said, "I think this blade of grass is really, really good." Put the blade of grass in his mouth. He started chewing it. He kept a straight face. He didn't choke or anything. He said, "This is really good." So what do? I take a piece of grass, put it in my mouth, and I choked. He thought that was funny. Temptation. And notice the devil used another strategy to trap Jesus, and that's quoting scripture. Now, I'm sure that really threw Jesus off. But the devil was actually quoting God's word. You know, "He shall give his angels charge of me." That's actually found in Psalm 91. But notice what Jesus did.
He refused. He refused to listen to that. And Jesus quoted scripture right back to him, which means that we as believers need to know what our Bible says. It might be something that you might need to do during the season of Lent. Instead of giving up things, maybe add on something, which would be reading the Word of God for our own spiritual benefit. Jesus refused to be put to this temptation of putting God to the test, because the devil wanted Jesus to make a name for himself, and that's not what it was all about. He was actually telling him, okay, Jesus, you know, if you do this, then you're going to do all these miracles for people, and everyone's going to follow you. But instead, God needed to exalt Jesus in his own way and in his own time. In other words, Jesus knew God had to do these miracles in his own way. This also tells us many times that we're looking for answers to our problems. People today are looking for answers to our problems. We're looking for that, for an instant miracle. People today are looking for a quick fix. You know, fix this, God, this problem in my home, this problem with the health concern I have. Fix it now. Even the Apostle Paul was looking for quick answers to his own thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In fact, Paul pleaded with God three times that he take this thorn away, this physical ailment. But what did God say to Paul? 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9. God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Maybe that's something we need to meditate on. When we're weak, then we're strong through Jesus Christ. You might be feeling weak in the faith this morning. Maybe you're in a place where you don't want to be. Have you ever thought that God has you there for a reason? To build up your faith in him, to make you stronger, to trust him. This is one thing that we need to know. Turn with me to James 5:15. James 5:15. We're talking about the faith that we need to have in times of hardship. James 5, verse 15, a very familiar passage where we, what we use when we anoint people. James 5, verse 13, "If any among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Here's the key, verse 15. "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up." So look what that says. It says, when we are weak, the prayer of faith is what we need to do. And who raises us up? The Lord raises us up. And so the prayer of faith is the only way to receive the power of God in your time of weakness. It's to know that God has an answer in his own way, in his own time. To pray a prayer of faith can only be prayed when you're having a hard time believing that God is there. Let's look at the third temptation. The third temptation Jesus faced was getting it all. Jesus' third temptation was getting it all. It is when you get everything that you want. Let's look at, go back in Matthew 4 and look at the third temptation, Matthew 4, 8 to 10. Matthew 4, 8 to 10. It says, "Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I'll give you if you fall down and worship me.' And Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So Satan is telling Jesus here, you can have it all. You can have all the kingdoms. You can have all the power. You can have all the glory. But there's one stipulation that the devil made. You must worship me if you want it all. Now, I was thinking, what must this temptation look like to Jesus? What was he thinking? How would it look like if he would have it all? Was Jesus tempted with materialism? Was Jesus tempted with the need to have every person's approval so that everyone would believe in him and agree with everything that Jesus preached? You know, you can't get that because you can't please everybody. Was Jesus tempted with the role of being the people's Messiah? Because that's what the Jews were looking for, still are today. They're looking for this powerful leader. Maybe Jesus was thinking, I can be the most powerful leader. And then no one can accuse me of being a weak leader. That's not the way God works. Satan told Jesus, you can have it all. You can have everything you wanted. But when we think we can have it all, you know what happens? We lose our focus. We lose our focus of where God is. When we have everything we want, where's God then? Is there any need for God when you have everything you want? You can be tempted into wanting the perfect life. You can have that job promotion. You can have that perfect house in the country. You can have perfect health even. You can have everything the world says is good. And let me tell you, sometimes what the world offers does look good. We need to be honest about that. But here's the thing. Who is behind all this? See, Jesus knew who was behind all this power and glory. It was the devil. He knew that. Jesus saw that Satan was the one who is behind all this attraction. And he knew that Satan was really making it look good and tempting. And that's when Jesus made the most powerful statement to the devil. Away with you, you shall worship the Lord of God, and him only shall you serve. Here's a question. Do we know the difference between God and the devil? Do we know what is of the devil? Do we know what is of God? And that's where I put down in your insert. What is your biggest attraction? What is your biggest attraction? And then you need to ask yourself, is that what God wants for me? Does God really want me to have this? So we need discernment. What is of God? What is of Satan? If you don't have discernment, then you need Jesus now more than ever. Because this world is not getting any easier for Christians. It's not getting any easier. We've got spiritual battles between good and evil. The things that we worship in our lives will determine where we stand with God today and in our future. So what is God saying to you this morning about your spiritual life with him? Well, let's look at how this text ends. The text ends on a good note. Verse 11. After Jesus said, away with you, Satan. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Verse 11 says, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now think of what James says. Flee the devil. That's what he did. The devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. We could say that Jesus passed the test of his temptation. But notice that angels came to minister to him. In other words, Jesus could not do it alone. He needed help. We need help. We need help as well. Jesus was about to go to the cross. He needed God's help. If you and I want God's help, we must humble ourselves and admit that we need him, no matter what we're facing. Remember that God is with you, even in times when you're in your own wilderness, in your own temptation. The Spirit of God led Jesus out into the wilderness. The Spirit of God will never leave you and I in our times of temptation. As we close this morning, close the message, I ask that you take out your brethren hymnals and turn to number 691. This is a responsive prayer of confession that I'd like for us to pray together. You can turn into hymnals, and that is a responsive reading. It's found in page 691 in the blue hymnal. It's a responsive reading. And then following this prayer, we'll have a closing song of benediction. Let's pray this responsively. Almighty God, Spirit of purity and grace, whose dwelling is with the humble and contrite heart, hear your children's confession of sin and grant us mercy for all that has been evil in our lives, for unholy thoughts and impure motives, for any scorn of goodness, trifling with truth, and indifference to beauty, for being petty when we could have been gracious. Forgive us, God. For lack of love toward you, whose love has never failed, for doubt in your providence, for acts of ingratitude, and for disobedience to visions we have been able to see. Forgive us, O God. For the wrong we have done to our neighbors, for silence in the face of war, for neglect of charity and failure in justice, for forgetting of others' pain, and for advantage taken of another's weakness, forgive us, O God. For our faulty following of the Master, our slow faith in his power to save, our timid, hesitant answers to his call for service, for insensibility to the meaning of the cross, for all that mars our discipleship and makes it difficult for others to believe in him. Forgive us, O God. May God, who is mighty and merciful, forgive our sins, empower us to overcome temptation, and enable us to love as Jesus loved. Amen. Let's turn to our closing hymn, number 244 in the Brethren Hymnal, Draw Me Near.
Thank you.
me in the response of benediction. We follow Christ,
who says, take up your cross.
We follow Christ,
who bids us come and die.
We follow Christ,
who summons us to new life.
The one who calls is faithful and will keep us.